Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Because obviously Mike Pence, his former television commentator, does have a very calm demeanor. But I think a lot of people were noticing some mansplaining going on tonight.
I didn't see it that way, George. It didn't come across to me. I do think he should have stopped talking a little quicker, but I don't think he was disrespectful of either woman. I thought he did a really strong job tonight.
Real question here, folks. How does a well-informed man explain something to a woman who may not have had all of her facts straight without being mansplaining to the woke culture? Like, Katie, we watched this whole debate together last night in my basement. Did Mike Pence mansplain to Kamala Harris?
No, he was just explaining. When someone has a question and they ask you the question, you just explain your answer. That's what happened.
Well, I would love to hear what Tyrus thinks about this. Let's get Tyrus in the room.
You're becoming like my most stable relationship.
Enough said.
Tyrus, have you ever been accused of mansplaining?
Constantly.
Are you? Are you mansplaining when you're being accused of it? I mean,
I'm
thought that was...
I'm doing it right now.
Welcome. That's why we're here. Can we rename this segment Mansplaining with Tyrus? Because I'm okay with that. I mean...
Yeah, because it's... all I can say is I don't think there could be a nicer guy to ever be in a combative speech with Mike Pence. So I don't think... He literally thanked everyone before he answered. 30 seconds of every question was thanking someone. So I don't really know how he could have been rude or whatever when literally he hit everybody with a compliment. And I think his first four, he even said, "You're entitled to your own opinion." Like, I mean, he was very affable, I think. Yeah. Both of them were, honestly. There were no fireworks. And to still hear that he was mansplaining, I don't know what the brother's got to do, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, that's my question. What? How are we supposed to have conversations that are meaningful? Because these debates are supposed to mean something to the American people. The center of these conversations is supposed to be you and me and the person sitting at their desk right now with their earbuds in their ears. We are the center of these conversations because that's how this country works. How are we supposed to have conversations between men and women or people of a different race or people of a different age range without being accused of, you know, first and foremost, taking the super easy punch and bringing that difference to the forefront? I mean, we've got to be able to discuss these tough issues, and we have to be able to discuss them between people who are not exactly right. And it seems as though it's such an easy, cheap shot to come out for George Stephanopoulos or anybody else, for that matter, and go straight to the gender difference between them.
Yeah, and I honestly, I think Pence had enough problems to deal with, besides making it up. I mean, but as a Republican, we have not had the best 2 weeks in terms of, like, some of our behavior from our president. But and Pence has always found a way to put glitter and sprinkles on anything that people have issue with. He's the best at what he does. He is a, I don't want to say master, but he is a pro debater. He's really good at what he does. The only thing that was, you were going to pick on him for anything, would be his really long intros into each question. But I think he felt he had to be overly complimentary and respectful and thankful before he would get into what the Republican view is on the situation. So I honestly think he did a really good job in terms of his demeanor and how he debated with Kamala Harris. He was respectful. He talked over, but I mean, that's what politicians do. But it was never at the point, even when she said, I am talking or you interrupted me, he stopped. Mm-hmm. And he didn't stop with it. And so he said, okay, sorry. So, I mean, as far as points go, as far as being respectful and courteous, I think Pence scored huge points. And I was able to watch the entire debate because it was an actual debate. Now, both sides did well. Both sides had moments. Both sides claimed victory. I don't think typically the VP debates move the needle one way or the other. But I think we had a good picture of what it would look like, even though neither one of them wanted to answer the question, what it would look like if they have to take over as president. So I think we got a good look at it.
Tyrus on the phone with us, Fox Nation host of Nuff Said and Fox News contributor. Tyrus, you just said it, that maybe the needle didn't move last night much, but in this debate, was there more focus on Kamala Harris because of the problems that everybody's talking about with Joe Biden? And if so, do you think she rose to that occasion last night?
I think she was her introduction to the world, basically. I know there was, Democratic debates and stuff, but this is like the biggest stage I think she's been on in terms of the debate. I don't think Biden's had any more problems than Trump has. So I would say it's a push. Both president-elect and both sides of the fence got issues. And, Pence, he backs the president no matter what, even though sometimes we would like him to explain something or add some clarity, because I think Mike Pence can do that. I think when our president's emotional, Pence could and should have the ability to break it down for us. But he does not do that. He just doubles down on his president. So I don't really feel either one does anything to push the needle other than they both had good accounts of themselves. They both got their points across, and they both dodged questions that apparently that the president and vice president don't want to answer, and they fell in line and didn't answer them, particularly Harris with the pack in the Supreme Court and Pence with kind of ducking and dodging a lot of the COVID questions. So and neither one of them wanted to talk about giving up power. But then again, how do you even have that conversation? Hey, boss, in case you get senile or sick, I just want you to know I'll pull the plug. You know what I'm saying? Like,
very sensitively.
Yeah, there's no, I mean, they definitely have to bring it up. You know, like, there's no segue. Like, speaking of dying on the job, hey, I got a quick question for you.
hypothetically speaking here.
Yeah, because no one, I mean, just think about it. Just take it in your spot. If your intern comes in and goes, hey, Mrs. Fry, if you get laryngitis or sick or anything, I'll just take over the show.
Wait, Ryan Wiggins just said this to me last week.
I say
now
it
I'm
in
concerned.
Every break almost.
Yeah.
What would happen if you were ever gone? I mean, like, gone, yeah. Gone.
If you were locked in the closet and I had the key, but I'm going to do the show before I unlock you, are we
completely hypothetically. Yeah.
Completely hypothetically.
What's your address?
I just thought it was one of those questions that I laughed because I can't see either candidate saying, hey, in case of this, I want you to know you have my full confidence. Literally would be my last breath will be my final order. So, and unfortunately, that's just the way it is. We see that in the Senate. We've seen people on the job passing away. And so I don't see the presidency going any other way.
We're speaking with Fox News contributor Tyrus, and I want to ask you, at the end of every debate, at the end of every big news bomb, I mean, we found out today that tomorrow Nancy Pelosi is going to bring up the 25th Amendment. Like, we're back around to that in this revolving door of craziness. I always look at what's changed, what has moved the needle. I'm pretty convinced that this is still a referendum on Donald Trump election, that you are either voting for Trump or against Trump. Do you think that Joe Biden has done anything, or that the Biden-Harris ticket has done anything up to here on Thursday, October 8th, to tell the American people why they would be the right choice, not just better than the wrong choice?
Well, the first part of that, Pelosi's doing that because that was, she warned us, she said that she had some arrows. Was it arrows to throw?
Mm-hmm. Arrows in her quiver.
Yeah, arrows in a quiver to throw over the Supreme Court pick. So trying to move this in front of that, if there's a hearing, if there's a vote, obviously it would slow down the selection process. So I think that's her move on the 25th Amendment situation. I think Biden's had a particularly good month in terms of he scored some points, whether we want, I mean, the debate wasn't a good look for us. And I always believe if we don't criticize our own team, you know, then we can't be better. And the debate wasn't good for us, and it changed. A lot of people started looking at Joe. I always thought it was a mistake, and I've been on the record. Attacking Joe Biden just doesn't work the same as attacking Hillary Clinton. The Clintons are an institution. They have all kinds of deep statism, and, you know, there was Bill Clinton's presidency and his issues and some of her issues and her personality and the way that she treated Barack Obama when they ran for the Democratic nomination. There was a lot of fodder there for him to attack her, and a lot of Americans got behind that. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden's not that guy. And this, I really wanted President Trump to just go on a boasting tour of his accomplishments and where he's
record.
And really not acknowledge Joe Biden that much. You're not getting much mileage out of Hunter, the Hunter stuff. You're not getting much mileage over attacking him, saying he doesn't have his wits about him. Like, those things just didn't work. And it's really too bad, because the final answer to your question is only President Trump can lose this election. I really believe that. I don't think Joe Biden can win this election, but I do think President Trump can give it away.
Exactly.
If that makes any sense at all,
yeah,
that's kind of where I'm at with it. I think it's, if he loses this election, he would only have to look back at himself. You had the lead, you kept going for the knockout, and you didn't need it. When you've done the things that you've done in terms of, and Mike Pence laid it out. He laid a plan out last night. If he could take Mike Pence's, I think it was fourth question, when he listed the things they were doing and jobs and ideas and places where they're going, you get behind that. You're like, yeah, we did do those things. And we're not hearing that from him. He's too busy on the attack with the press and the fight. And I think he's making people who are on the fence tired, if that makes any sense. What I'm hearing, when I, you know, people on the street come up to me 6 months ago, it was Trump, Trump, Trump. I live in Louisiana. Trump, Trump, Trump. Doesn't matter, you know. And then now you're hearing, well, oh, I think Joe's nicer. You know, you're thinking, what? But they're starting to be more in places where typically it's red meat all day, every day. Especially in the older community, you're starting to hear rumblings, and we've seen that in some of the pollings too. So he's still got time. He's got time. You know, all he has to do is literally just start talking about the things they've done, and Joe Biden would not get press time if President Trump didn't bring him up. Yeah. I really believe that.
There's still time for Trump to stick the landing, but he's got to do it. Tyrus, always great to talk to you. Stay safe. You guys are really, you know, rolling around in this hurricane season stuff.
We're dodging bullets over here. Dodging bullets.
Yeah, 2020 is hard enough. Louisiana has been taking it hard. We are praying for you and everybody around you, and hope you get through this one, and no more excitement of this kind for the rest of the year. We'll see. Tyrus, thanks so much. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
you as well. Follow him on Twitter at Planet Tyrus, Fox News contributor, host of Nuff Said. You see him on the Dana Perino show. You see him on the Greg Gutfeld show. And I always appreciate getting his perspective on here because it's a little bit different than the way we hear a lot of other folks talking about it. So good to have him on here. Let's take a quick break. Don't forget, here in about, 15 minutes or so, a little bit longer than that, we are going to have George Papadopoulos on the show. George Papadopoulos is one of the origin individuals that was involved in this entire Russia collusion scandal, hoax, story. Which is it? We're going to ask him here in a bit, but we're going to get more reaction to what we just talked about with Tyrus. Katie, Ryan, my question when we come back, because we had a comment here from a listener on Facebook, and invite all of you to watch us on our Facebook Live and chat along with us, because we read all of these comments, and the Annie Fry YouTube page as well, was we heard George Stephanopoulos saying that Pence was mansplaining to Kamala. Was Kamala womansplaining to Mike Pence? I can't stop thinking about this. We'll discuss when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, let's talk about packing the court then. Let's talk about the fact. Yeah, I'm about to. So the Trump-Pence administration has been, because I sit on the Senate Judiciary Committee, Susan, as you mentioned, and I have witnessed the appointments for lifetime appointments to the federal courts, district courts, courts of appeal. People who are purely ideological, people who have been reviewed by legal professional organizations and found to have been not competent, are substandard. And do you know that of the 50 people who President Trump appointed to the Court of Appeals for lifetime appointments, not one is black? This is what they've been doing. You want to talk about packing a court? Let's have that discussion.
Seriously, the response after Pence pushed and pushed and pushed. Are you going to pack the court? Are you going to pack the court? Kamala's like, but racism. Give me a break. Yeah. I can't even believe it. Like, that was the biggest diversion. I think everybody was like leaning in to see who was going to win this spar here. And then at the end, it was like, but racism. And everybody was like, and then it was like, well, of course. Why didn't I see that coming? How would I not see that coming? I should have called that from the very beginning. That's the easiest thing to call.
Yeah, that was at the end. The whole thing was a dream ending.
Oh,
yeah. I should have saw that one coming. That's what it always is.
Give me a break. Katie, cut 14 is George Stephanopoulos. And weighing in on how the night went. And I think he tried to level the playing field a little bit here. Listen to the word he uses to explain this event.
And computer shut down. Well, here we go. Hold on.
You got it? Oh, she said ope.
Oh.
Yeah, no.
Nope. It's a problem. There's an issue going on.
That's fine. Forget about it. Mansplaining. Mansplaining is the word that was used. George Stephanopoulos said that Mike Pence was mansplaining to Kamala Harris. There is nothing that Mike Pence could have done in a vice presidential debate, folks. This is a really big deal. This is very high up. It's like the second most important conversation that you're going to hear, second to the presidential debate. And when he explains, like, what is he not allowed to explain things that she's saying wrong or clarify points when she attacks him? What could he have been more polite in the way that, I mean, good grief. He congratulated her on the historic moment of having a black woman have this conversation, you know, or be a part of this debate. He was very complimentary. He was excessively kind. And George Stephanopoulos is like, sensed a little bit of mansplaining there. Well, we had a comment from a listener here on Facebook who said, was Kamala womansplaining to Mike Pence. And Katie, I'm going to go to you first because you're a woman. Is there such thing as woman-splaining? And if so, was it Kamala Harris doing that last night?
There is such a thing as woman-splaining.
What is it?
Can I read the definition of mansplaining first?
Yes, please.
Okay, I should probably read it to you just to be sure.
Yeah, please. Thanks, Ryan. I'm just stupid. Do it for me. Okay, the definition
is... Can you
dumb
it down for us, please, Ryan? Yeah. So that us X chromosomes can understand
you.
Yeah,
that was the big talky talk. Here's what it really means.
The explanation of something by a man, typically to a woman, in a manner regarded as condescending or patronizing. Those two words are very, very important when it comes to what woman-splaining and Kamala Harris was doing last night.
And the verdict is, was she woman-splaining?
Yes. If we're going to take it by the mansplaining definition, which has condescending or patronizing in the actual definition, then you cannot look at what Kamala Harris was doing last night and not say she was not doing either one of those things.
That's Jackie on Facebook said no, but Kamala was woman-splaining. What about you, Ryan?
Can we just take woman or man out of it and make it non-gender binary splaining? Because that can happen either way, as we're talking about. Like, she definitely was doing that at times. What's
Carla? Carla says, I call it Kamala splaining, which is really how she talks.
Yeah.
It's the way that she communicates. And it's a very us and them way of doing it. And I'm not saying that, like, okay, so here's, we were looking on Twitter, and apparently Leslie Marshall, who is one of the Democrat pundits that's on Fox a lot, I appreciate her, I like her, because I think that she doesn't make inflammatory points, but she still obviously supports the Democratic side of the aisle. She's on Twitter going back and forth right now with Megyn Kelly, because Megyn Kelly tweeted last night, I'm going to find the actual tweet here because I want to make sure I get her words exactly. It was a very brief but very poignant tweet of hers. She was not loving the Kamala presentation last night either, just like a lot of people who I was reading. So if you, let's see here. Here's the tweet about the fly. The fly is free and now getting a COVID test. Man, she tweeted a lot.
She did, yeah.
And I loved it.
Fly. Can't believe that stupid fly.
Here's the tweet. Take it like a woman. Don't make faces. That's the tweet, which is a phrase on Twitter that I hate. There it is. That's the tweet. I hate that. Hate it. And go. I hate it. I hate a lot of things today. I'm not really in this bad of a mood as it appears that I am, because I thought that...
You should just get off Twitter.
Why?
We can't.
Then what would I do between midnight and 3 a.m.?
Well, that's true. Yeah, you just sit there and look at the ceiling.
Take it like a woman. Don't make faces. Katie, if somebody said that to you, how would you react to that?
I would say that is a bold statement. That is a very bold statement to say.
It's a bold strategy, Kat.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Just because, you know, whenever you, it can go one of two ways. And one of the ways that it could go is that you're looked at as critiquing and talking down to another woman and not supporting or respecting her just because she's making facial expressions.
Time out. Do all women have to support all women?
No.
That was my understanding.
No.
Well, let's explain that. That's not how it works. I mean, don't you get a little bit sick and tired of this, like, I mean, women, strong women need to support strong women, yes. If you're tearing somebody down because they're a woman, that's crappy of you. But if you're tearing somebody down because they're not making a good case with the information that they're presenting and they're doing it in a way that is destructive, like, you don't, I don't feel like I owe anybody my loyalty and respect. I think you have to earn it. And if you haven't earned it, just because of your gender doesn't mean you get more respect from me from the get than a man would.
Ryan, conversely, does it bother you two as strong women when people don't let Kamala stand on her own and have to defend her as a woman, as if she's not capable enough because she's a woman?
Who's doing that?
People like, people were defending her and saying, well, people are mansplaining to you. You shouldn't have to endure that. She's running for vice president.
Yeah.
Well, but from what I understand, she only was qualified to be the vice presidential candidate because she was a woman. You want to talk about mansplaining, Joe Biden? You want it to, like, I am going to put a woman on this ticket because I need a woman more than I need a man. That's as gross as it gets. Why would you not just pick a woman? I want the most qualified person. Mm-hmm. And in this instance, it happens to be a woman. That is something to be championed. That the fact that you've decided to select this individual person and they happen to be a woman is something of commendation. But the, you know, if you want to, I'm sorry, I'm not going to speak for a woman because that's not how any of this works. I don't ever want anything because I'm a woman. I want it because I am the best at it. I want it because I'm the most, you know, deserved person for whatever the position is, whether it's like PTA president or, you know, head of some charity commitment or, you know, the person in our house who's going to orchestrate the Disney vacation. Like, if I'm going to be the person who does it, I want to be the best and want to be the right person for the job, not the right woman for the job. That eliminates 50% of the entire population just because of my gender, which I, in fact, have zero control over. That is the most mansplaining that you can come up with. The idea that you would eliminate the possibility of any man, even the dumbest man that is out there, all the way up to the most brilliant man. None of those people are qualified for the job. I'll take any woman over that. Go ahead, Ryan, before
we
break. Does
it also bother you that Trump said ahead of time, I'm going to nominate a woman for this Supreme Court seat?
Yes, it does. I wish he would have just picked a woman. He already had his list. It's the same thing. If you know that you want it to be Amy Coney Barrett and you want to squeeze two more days out of the news cycle so that you can get the credit for the identity politicking of saying you're going to pick a woman, doesn't do it for me. Just pick the chick. Don't make it about gender, because at the end we'll be like, oh my gosh, he picked a woman. Then it's exciting and it's fresh. And you make the case that Amy Coney Barrett wasn't just the best woman on the list. She was the best person on the list. And that is so much more meaningful. Like, women see this. Women are not so stupid to be like, oh, that's so wonderful how he decided he was definitely going to pick a woman for this job. We want the best person. And of course, I want it to be a woman if the woman is the best. But I'm not going to be happy because she's a woman that got picked. I'm going to be happy because somebody is acknowledging that the best person in the woman in the room might happen to wear heels and carry a purse. That's fine with me. Give me a break, people. Like, it's we're not as stupid as they need us to be, which is a phrase I feel like I say way too much on the show.
It's okay. You're doing fine.
Did I just
woman-splain?
Crap. Was that the most meta segment that we have ever done?
I don't know. I don't know which way's up.
Well, when I sat down after I ran upstairs to check on my son because he's home after his surgery yesterday, when I sat down, it was cold in here and I pulled my blanket up on my lap and now I'm out of breath and I'm like, it's hot.
Well, I'm hot here too, so I don't know if that
helps. It's weird.
Helps. It's
weird
coming
how that
through the
works.
Screen.
Let's go to a break because when we come back, we're going to speak with George Papadopoulos and we're going to talk about this information that is coming out, the declassifications of these just bombshell for real documents that shed light on what happened in 2016 and what the Hillary Clinton campaign and Hillary Clinton herself and Barack Obama have to do with it. George Papadopoulos when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So I think, as Rick said, this election coming up is the most important, certainly, in our lifetimes. And I would just encourage people to vote, because I believe that we need to send a resounding signal, not just to the American people, that Trump's activities and his administration's behavior are being denounced. We need to send a signal to our allies and partners and adversaries around the world that Trump, that the Trump presidency was an aberration, that the United States is going to be back on track, and we're going to be bigger and better than ever before.
So that's John Brennan there, who was in charge of the CIA when all of this Russia collusion stuff started happening. And I want to know what our guest thinks about this. George Papadopoulos joins us now. He's a former member of the Foreign Policy Advisory Panel for Trump's 2016 campaign. And he's also author of The Deep State Target, How I Got Caught in the Crosshairs of the Plot to Bring Down President Trump. We are learning a little bit more about the origin of that plot. And George, I've been following you on Twitter for quite some time. You've been a guest of the show many times, and I am always looking forward to hear what your opinion is, your reaction is to the current moment in time. Thank you for your time today. We're seeing some of these documents being released, declassified by Ratcliffe. What's your reaction to what the American people have in their fingertips right now?
Oh, and thanks a lot for having me, and it's always a great pleasure to be on your show. And look, I've been on your show a lot of times, and even during the last appearance, before even this news broke on the CIA, I was mentioning to you and your audience that the CIA and all the activities abroad is where the action was and where we should be keeping our focus. I always felt that the media's attention or obsession in many ways on the lovers, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, while it was important, it was focusing on the trees and missing the forest. The forest is exactly what all of these files that have yet to be declassified up until now are all about. The reason that Brennan is so worried about what was going on is because he has just now been thrust into the spotlight, and his activities were pretty much classified. No one knew what was going on. Everybody kept thinking that what Trump and his associates were talking about spying was all a conspiracy theory. But now we have just open articles coming out over the last couple of days, even before the president decided to declassify all these thousands of pages, were that the CIA director was blocking the declassification of all of this material. Who is she protecting? None other than her predecessor, John Brennan, and the entire CIA. And that's exactly what the American people now will finally be able to see, is that the CIA was running the show with foreign governments and feeding dirty information to a willful FBI. This was a coordinated attack on our democratic process.
It's stunning. I mean, you've said this on our show multiple times, and I see you saying it every single day out there, and also with your book, Deep State Target. This would be the biggest scandal in American history. Would be. Maybe it is the biggest scandal in American history. What we've seen from what Ratcliffe has declassified right now is the suggestion that the entire Russia collusion story was a fabrication, a fantasy of Hillary Clinton during the campaign to divert attention of the American people away from her scandal, her email scandal. And a lot of people hear Hillary emails and they just gloss over, like, oh, here we go with the Hillary emails again. Is it true, with your firsthand experience in this situation, is it true that the Russia scandal with Donald Trump was a fabrication and an inside job?
Look, absolutely. And all you have to look at, just the public figures who are involved in this scandal, who were helping divert the attention away from Hillary's email problems, were people who were connected to both the CIA, MI6, the Clinton campaign, and on the payroll of the foundation. People like Christopher Steele, Alexander Downer, Stefan Halper. Now we know that Jake Sullivan, who was then her foreign policy advisor on her campaign, and is also a current foreign policy advisor to the Biden campaign, was the one who was coordinating in July of 2016 to get this this fake information out about the Russians and the Trump campaign. No one in the Trump campaign had anything to do with the Russians. In fact, when I brought up in the beginning of my time working on the campaign in March, April, and May of possibly having some sort of foreign policy trip to Europe and Russia, the campaign shot that down immediately. This notion that the campaign was working or colluding with the Russians, let alone any other foreign government, came about. It was exactly like you said. It was a manufactured event because the candidate had made public statements that it was in America's national interest to work with Russia at the geopolitical level. I think most of your listeners, including myself, would agree that not having war and conflict with Russia is good for America. That's all the candidate was talking about and why the attention should have been on China. But because the candidate mentioned that in coordination with Hillary's email problems, they tried to conflate these two to mushroom a scandal that was an inside job. It's all coming out now. And people like Jake Sullivan, who are currently on Biden's foreign policy team, are only going to suck in Biden and his campaign even more into Obamagate as more and more of this is coming out.
If Hillary Clinton believed that she could manifest a scandal, pay for and manifest a scandal suggesting that somehow Trump and Russia were in bed together to try to steal the election, was Hillary being so reckless, so confident in her ability to win the election she thought she would get away with it? Or the alternative, it was so necessary to ensure that she would win the election for both her and Barack Obama, who was briefed by this from John Brennan. The handwritten notes of that oral meeting, face-to-face meeting with the president, have now been released as well. Was Hillary Clinton being reckless or desperate to put this scandal together?
I think it was both. I think she was desperate to get the scandal out there because she wanted to deflect from her own problems. And she was involved as well to make sure that if she did lose, which she ended up losing, that there would be a mini crisis that would then metastasize into the special counsel. And we all know what's happened over the last 3 years to our country because of it. The insurance policy that we keep hearing Peter Strzok and Lisa Page talk about, that's what this was all about. And Clinton, we now know for the first time ever, was directly involved. And Obama and the senior White House officials were knowingly involved as well with the Clinton campaign to fabricate this entire disaster. And in my opinion, Annie, this is probably going to affect the election much more so than any other issue out there except the economy. If you focused on the debate between President Trump and Biden, there was one issue that Biden really couldn't shake, and that was Obamagate and what his son was up to with the Russian and Ukrainian oligarchs and taking all this dirty money from them. So I hope the president, now that he has actually declassified these files, he does make sure that the CIA director hands over those files to Durham. Durham is unable to use whatever new evidence he has obtained to either charge or indict people or at least get the real story out. And that the president keeps focusing on this particular issue because it's not a conspiracy theory. What happened in 2016, if it's not rectified, will happen again in 2020 and beyond, and it'll be even worse. So this really is a serious issue, and we need to make sure that it is out there with less than 26 days to go before an election.
We're speaking with George Papadopoulos, author of the book Deep State Target, How I Got Caught in the Crosshairs of the Plot to Bring Down President Trump. Now, I'm going to give you a question that a lot of people will say after I get done interviewing you, and I want to give you an opportunity to respond to those people directly. People who want to discredit you and talk about you being thrown in jail for lying about the Trump campaign's contact with Russians. What is your response to those people, and why should people take your word about what you're discussing right now?
Well, there are a lot of political persecutions in this case, and I was just one of them. I wasn't the only one, and we see what's happening with three-star general Michael Flynn for the last 2.5 years. And my heart goes out to him and his family because I think he's suffering a lot more than I ever did. And I ended up going in for 10 days. Look, when the entire federal government has zeroed in on you, meaning myself, mm-hmm. and have painted an individual as a patsy to undo an entire presidential election and then revert to a coup attempt on the sitting president, there's really no chance you could get out of that unless you want to end up bankrupt and go through the litigation process that will last years and years, like General Flynn has done. In my case, I had two opportunities. One, go through the arduous, expensive process and never get my story out, and then have this all go under the dustbin of history and have no impact whatsoever on the 2020 election and on American history, or lose the battle to win the war. And that's exactly what I ended up doing. I saw that I was set up. I saw that they had nothing. But by getting my story out there and talking to reporters and going on TV, like I did, and my then girlfriend and now wife was doing the same thing, knowing that I was set up and they couldn't do anything to me, it really started to change the narrative from collusion to Spygate. And that all happened when we started learning more and more about people like Stefan Halper, who Joseph Mifsud and his people really were. And that could not have happened if I was in the process of litigation or fighting this or had a gag order the way General Flynn does. So while, of course, I applaud General Flynn for fighting back and doing what he's doing, the result of what's happened to him is millions of dollars in legal fees and some sort of gag order that he has not been able to get off him and fight and go on offense when we desperately needed him now 25 days before the election. So that's what I would say to anybody who would be on the fence about what I'm saying, and also just to look at all the declassified files that are corroborating every single statement I've ever made. And look, this isn't the first time that the U.S. government has worked to set mm-hmm. up political opponents. This isn't the first time the FBI has been mirrored in a scandal, and it's probably not going to be the last, but I hope that the president holds these people accountable so that they do learn a lesson to ensure that this does not happen again, because we should not be interfering in our elections. If you want to beat your political opponents, don't weaponize the intel agencies against them. Beat them the old-fashioned way, and that's at the ballot box.
George Papadopoulos, thank you so much. Please stay close by. We are going to continue to have you on, because I think that with each passing day, this is going to get more and more up front and center, and your firsthand experience is so valuable to our listeners. Thank you so much for the time today. We appreciate you very much.
Thank you so much, George. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. George Papadopoulos, author of Deep State Target, How I Got Caught in the Crosshairs of the Plot to Bring Down President Trump. And if you're paying attention to what's going on in the news that is out there, it was absolutely a plot to bring down the president. More conversation on this when we return. 314-241-9797. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.